welcome back to the podcast. We've got Aaron Knightley, entrepreneur. He's from Peak Performance, and actually I'm going to let him do the intro because we've got Paul Stapleton, his business partner, here, and I can see him, he's eyeballing me at the minute. So Aaron, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, Paul's a flirt, isn't he? Yeah, look, Aaron Knightley of Knightley Investment Group and Peak Performance. We've got a lot going on. And that's it. You know, when people say, what do? I just say entrepreneur, because I think it's that question we were talking about this yesterday, me and Paul, is when people say, even Luke Vernon, who we were talking to, is when people say, what do you do? Well, when you do a lot of things, you are just a creator. You're someone who does many different things that you're trying to make work. So I wouldn't say there's a title. I'm busy. Eddie Hearn, no context. I'm busy.
So why are you busy?
Always have been. From an early age, I've always been busy. I've always never been able to sit still. Never got on too great at school. Didn't really take to academics. Been very involved in high levels of sport. I've always had a lot to say. I've always been that guy in the room where, you know, regardless of size, I've always wanted to hold conversation. I've been very confident. I've been very out there. I would say that it's a blend between my old man, thickness of skin, very ruthless, very to the point. Mum, bit of flair, bit of sass, and that's kind of where that built from. So just been very busy, and it's not until you get later in life and you realize that where you need to channel it, ended up sort of getting into business, enjoyed that, learned about finance, been very strict, routine, disciplined, loved my fitness, which has kind of merged me and molded me to what I do today, which is a lot of different things. But I'm enjoying the process. It's a journey. We were just taught, obviously, on Paul's podcast, we're trying to do a lot of things. Mm. And we're very consistent and going back to, I'm busy.
So take me back to, obviously, when you just spoke about your dad there. What was it like growing up for yourself? I'm always thought, as you know, as I said with Paul and everyone else, why have you shaped yourself, or what shaped you into who you are now?
When we grew up, me and my sister, you know, my parents have always provided. Mm. We didn't have a lot, but they've always given us a very good life. They've always been there. They've worked extremely hard. So I've seen nothing but hard work, grit and determination to provide for their children. Mm. So that I've really adopted that for my son. And I've seen that all the way up until this very day. And, you know, from my dad, I've never seen my dad cry. My dad was served a long time in the military. He was very ruthless. He had a very hard upbringing. You know, his parents left him in a house with his other siblings at five. They were in a very bad way health-wise. They went into care in the early 50s, which was quite rough. My dad got into a lot of trouble, you know. So he had a very, you know, for who my dad is, who I've seen, you know, he'd die for me in a heartbeat at me and my sister. He'd do anything for his family. His ability to cut off emotion. But what that's done is, a lot of people think, well, it sounds like a very ruthless man, and to some extent it is. But what that is he is very much caveman provider. And I've looked up to that because he's always provided. Mm. You know, I'd see him Monday and I might see him at the weekend because he'd work long days, he'd travel, stuff like this. Mum's always been there, very caring, very loving, the emotional support for me and my sister, even to this day, takes on, you know, my God, I put her through a lot of stress when I was younger. Again, just always on the go, getting in trouble, doing things I shouldn't be doing. But all the while, I did see graft, true graft. And I'm in the generation, along with Paul, that when you start exposing yourself to people who are doing very well, it does make you reflect on what you've seen as a child. And maybe there is a different side, you know, the grass is greener, you know. So it wasn't until I started exposing myself to people who are in business that I thought, actually, do you know what? For my family and you know, going forward, I could change things if I wanted to, but I'm going to use what I've seen when I was younger, which was graft, hard work, love, you know, and caring for me and my sister. And I think that molded me to who I am today. But obviously I've got my own personality as well, you know, which is a combination of my old man and my old dear. And I'm still very loud to this day, but you know, I have my flaws. There are ups and downs, but, you know, I'm heading in the right direction, and 2023 is going to be a good year.
Do you struggle with your emotions, showing them, that is?
No, I wouldn't say no. I would say that, you know, look, I'm very blessed. I've never suffered from anxiety or depression or any kind of mental health issues or anything like that. I've got very thick skin. It's kind of, most stuff is water off a duck's back. I've got certainly gone through a period where, you know, was definitely seeking validation. You know, I played sport at a high level, very high level, both in boxing and football, and could have gone on to do very well. Had my son, things change, you adapt, stuff like that. So no, I've always been very thick skinned. I've never really had a problem showing my emotions. But what I probably do is I take on a lot of pressure, just like Paul. What we do typically as men, especially if you are a very a driven man, is that you take on the pressure. And what you don't want to do is burden other people by talking about it. So, but unfortunately, by holding things in, because we were capable of doing it, I don't need someone to tap me on the back and say, you're all right. And I don't need that. But when you do take on a lot of things and you don't talk about it and your mood changes, like you just said with Paul, is that that can affect home life. Mm-hmm. You don't mean to, but it does. And that's where the communication breaks down. Just like in any deals, time and communication will break down any deal. It's the same in personal relationships. Mm-hmm. So I can talk about my emotions, but I probably hold back more than I should.
Did you recognise, obviously, from the detachment of relationship between your father and you, although you see that he was working really hard, did it have a negative impact on yourself? Even though you could see he was working really hard, did you wish there was a better relationship when you was younger?
No, I had a fantastic relationship. So no, my relationship with my father was brilliant. I mean, we're like brothers, even to this day. We just, you know, we piss about, you know, we used to do all kinds, we'd slap each other, you know, so our relationship was great. It was just a case of the way, that, you know, my mother was the emotional support.
Right.
Any trouble or sort of, you know, if shit hit the fan and it got real, my dad would get involved and then you'd step out of the way. Mm. It was that kind of, he would only get involved on the emotional side or you know, like if the family had trouble. But when he got involved, it was like shit was real and you didn't fuck with him. Mm. So it never really got to that stage. That was only very, very few. I've never actually seen my dad show too many up and down emotions. He's very, I always say he could be the hitman that come home. You'd never know he's a hitman for years. He's like that, you know, totally detached. But that's from his childhood. He had one of the worst childhoods. You know, if you were to meet him, you'd think, how are you like that? Knowing what you've been through, you know. So he's very. But no, I had a great relationship with him. We've done a lot of the weekend. He's always supported me. He's pushed me to football, pushed me to boxing. He's been a brilliant father. The only time I did nearly make him cry was actually when I got married. When I read out my speech. My mum after went fucking borderline, like he was you choked him and he didn't give, like, and I, you know, I wrote that speech pretty well and I said, you know, you honestly are the hardest man I've ever seen work, and you know, I said a few other things, but so no, I had a great relationship with him, and I've adopted that with my son as well. Like, I, you know, I'm with my son all the time. I love it. So yeah, you know, I show emotions when I have to.
I think it's a controversial subject because I, similarly with what you've just recognised there with your dad, I'm like that with my kids because me and the mum are not together anymore. We're divorced. But I would say I'm quite emotionless unless I have to be, which is probably not the right thing to do. But when I'm with my kids, everything goes into them.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. But it's kind of like Marmite. You have to show emotion when you're with, well, not have to show emotion when you're with them. But you love them to pieces all the time regardless. But there is a fine line between showing too much emotion and them, like you're saying, pat on the back.
Yeah.
Or if you give them too much, they'll take too much. Like I said with Paul, the iPads, the phones.
Yeah.
But it's a case of where is the fine line? Where's the balance between the kids?
Yeah.
And with yourself, you've come on to be this successful entrepreneur and it's given you this drive, the ambition to succeed. With the kids now growing up and obviously watching your content, it's, again, going into work, going into university, and that's, we'll come on to that in a second. You're what would appear to be out of the norm because you've seen this hard work, grit, determination. So that's kind of where I'm heading with this, is it served you well the way you was growing up.
Yeah, of course it has. I mean, it's when you can witness hard work, you know, we talk a lot about smart work, you know, but when you can witness hard work and then what's to show for it, you know, my parents have always said, you know, we don't pay for things unless we can afford it, you know, from that kind of era of saying stuff like that. And that was quite common. And that's, you know, I do believe that, you know, I have no interest in going out and competing to buy something with someone else. If I want to go buy something, I can buy something. I can compete with everyone else, but I've never felt the need to. I've been very content. I think the difference is when you come from humble beginnings and you're able to turn your life around for the better. You had a humble start, therefore there was no West Wing, there was no trust fund baby, there's no silver spoon, there's no, you know, knocking shoulders with people who are rich and stuff like that. When you come from just a normal and then you build yourself up, you do have a very good platform to remain humble if you don't let it go to your head. And I think the way that you do that is by having a child. I believe that most people adulthood when they have a child, if they're a good parent. And then you can, I believe that someone who is humble and very likable and no chip on their shoulder can grow so much faster than someone who is very unstable with their emotions in terms of looking for this validation, looking for the likes, looking for the success. And look, I'm not successful by any means. I'm just doing my own thing. I believe really that the journey of success is being able to come here, sit here and do things like this. You know, I've not made millions upon millions. I certainly would like to get to the stage, you know, I was going to shout, you know, from the sidelines there. But, you know, peak performance, next 10 years, we'll sell it for 10 to 20 million pounds. Guarantee it. I'll sit here and I'll say that confidently because that is what we are driven to do. And we are willing to move, adapt. We've got incredible people around us. You know, TEDx sold for, what was it like? It was something like 60 revenue of an estimated in and around between like the $40 to $60 million. They did that in like a 16-year period. It's all very achievable, but you have to have people around you, so you need to be likable. And that's my thing, is that I'm going to try and help as many people as I can. And you have to be humble along the way. Like I say, you know, it doesn't matter about followers, what you've got. If you remain humble and open, so many doors are presented to you. And that equals rapid growth. And that's where I'm at the moment. You know, I've taken my humble beginnings and I'm applying it in every day.
So then obviously you've... Tell me what school was like was you, for yourself, because obviously you've, some of you've got to quite a high level in your sporting career. But what was school like for yourself?
I didn't really pay attention to school. You know, I was that... I had no interest. You know, I can't... With maths, right, let's just sum up maths. You've either got it or you haven't.
Yeah.
Your brain either works in that way. It's like trying to say to, you know, there's this kid, I won't say his last name, but he was called Edward. He was in my primary school and then went to my secondary school. You know, he could just pluck numbers out, you know, and lo and behold, he became a barrister. He's somewhere in London, you know, he's earning probably a decent wage, but he just had it. You know, he was a bit goofy. He was a bit of a boff, but he just got it. But he'll never build multiple businesses because you need confidence. You need that drive. You need the self-belief. You need that bit of cockiness, you know, within a certain degree to go on to do something. So at school, I didn't like maths, didn't like science. English was boring. I've wrote books. I'm going to write more books. You know, I've done blogging. I enjoy writing, but I've learned that myself, you know, to change things and vocab and stuff like that. So I didn't like school, but I loved my football. I loved boxing. You know, I was blessed that I played at a high level for Brighton from the age of 6 to nearly 17. So I was able to leave school twice a week, which was all legit. And I'd go train with the reserves and the pros and stuff like that at the time, you know. So I was very just sports driven. I had no interest in school and I wasn't very good at it. So I just, you know, I got into a lot of fights, got into a lot of troubles, hanging around with the wrong people. And that carried on even when, you know, even when I left school for a bit. It was basically all until I had my son, in all honesty.
So what do you have to become an entrepreneur?
I think you've got to be very self-driven. I think you've really, you know, look, entrepreneurship, I do also believe can be taught and you can learn it and it can come out of you. Everyone has the ability to do more than what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
There is no discrimination in this game.
No.
You know, it is like poker, that old saying of everyone is playing the same game. Everyone's just got a different hand, you know, but you can have a good poker face. You can go all the way to the end. You can, you know, you can fold, you can check, whatever. You can go at your own pace. But I think when you are someone who doesn't like going into a workplace and you're like, oh, I don't like this, and then you change job and you change job again and you just can't find your feet, there's probably early signs there that actually you've probably got a lot in you. Now it's about focusing. Because criminals, like we said before, criminals can go two different ways. They could be guided down the right way if they meet the right people, or people continue down this sort of illegal route but become a criminal, but then they can still earn a great income from...
You just touched on something with criminals there. They're creative.
Yeah, they are. It's exactly the same, but the guidance is different.
Mm.
You know, I could have gone down the route. I'm sure you could have. I'm sure Paul, it's your environment. You know, we're talking a lot about environment recently, and it is. You know, a lot of people who comment on social media and it's all about, you can't do it, it was easy for you and stuff like that. Well, that's clearly an environment that they're in. I'm not in that environment. Paul's not in that environment. Neither are you. It's about happening, like what's going on, what's the opportunity, who can I learn from? So mindset's obviously a big part of this, but anyone can learn to be a creator, because that's essentially what it is, you know, making something from nothing. And being a bit of a busybody. I've always been a busybody. I think most of us are a busybody. Can't sit still, you know. Even there, as I'm doing pulls, you know, I'm doing TikTok and I'm uploading, I'm replying to emails. You know, I'm never stagnant, never idle, you know.
I think it's important to stay calm, be still, self-reflect sometimes, but also be creative at the same time.
Mm.
Because if you're still for too long, like as me and Paul said, then obviously that's a dangerous game. That's a dangerous game. But for someone like yourself, when did you realise that this is just not for me? Obviously school, early doors, but was it before that or just
so I was, yeah, so when I was in full-time employment, you know, I had a few jobs, but my last one that I was at for many years, I met an old friend whose mum actually used to look after me when I was a child, and they've been family friends for many, many years, you know, going back to my mum, his mum, Nan, I never knew my Nan, but they knew each other. Anyway, he was in property, done very well, and he said to me, do you want to get involved in a project one day? I said, sign me up. I knew he was doing very well. And anyway, so we started going into projects. We actually did a couple of, you know, I used to be heavily involved in property nearly 10 years ago. And that's how he got me started. But that's kind of where I was introduced to finance. I went to a few meetings in London when they were talking big numbers, raising money. And I was sitting there thinking, fucking hell, this is like talking about it like it's a fiver. I'm thinking, why are they talking about it like it's so easy? This is in Mayfair. Anyway, I came away and I spoke to one of the guys that was there. And he was like, you know, the presentation was good. You're good at numbers. You know, give me a calculator. I'm good at numbers. Like all the teachers used to say, well, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket when you're older. Well, we do, don't we? So give me a calculator. I'm great with numbers. I've always had a good money, smart sort of head on my shoulders. Always been very sensible, never kept up with the Joneses. And when I realised the money that some of these people were making, I started going back to London, back and forth. I was back and forth to London all the time, just meeting people, going to different events. I was very likeable. I get on with a lot of people. I was making good friends. Aaron, we want you to come up, meet this guy. We want you to come up, meet this woman. Let's have a coffee. Let's do this. But I was being very picky with my time. Because look, there's so many people, and one bit of advice I would say to people, if you're watching this, I get offered to meet people a lot of time in London, just for like a coffee and stuff like this. It's a waste of my time. It's no disrespect, but what's the point? What are we getting? Where's the synergy? Where's the collaboration? What's the growth? Look, let's have a Zoom. But even it's even borderline paying for the Zoom, because time now is so tight that you really have to bear in mind return on time invested. And I started that entrepreneurship journey of going, actually, I like this spice of this entrepreneur world and what my friend, my old friend has, this property. That kind of opened the door. As soon as I was introduced to finance and what people were earning, I was like, this is big money. And then when I first done my first ever deal where I earned a high amount of commission, I earned more than my manager was earning at the time in less than a month. You know, it took a few Zoom calls and a few meetings. And done. And that was when I was like, okay, I need to do more of this. And how can I do more of this? My network needs to become bigger. My network needs to become richer, because the more rich people I have in my network, the bigger deals I can do. None of this little 2.5 grand sort of piddly stuff, big numbers. And I'd done that all with covered in tattoos. That's the other funny thing about this is you line me up with anyone that sort of does a very similar thing to me. None of them will have tattoos. They'll all talk very toffee and they'll look very different to me. Which I think also plays in my favour, because I've managed to push through that barrier, which other people are able to attach to me and go, okay. And that's why a lot of people relate to me, because I'm no wishy washy. We're sitting here wearing a Rolex. I'm not trying to fluff anyone.
Mm.
It is what it is. So And then I just doubled down.
There is a stigma attached to people with tattoos on their hands, neck. Mm. What would you say to them? Well, people that are looking to start now, for example.
So for people looking to start, look, if you have tattoos, unless it's a face tattoo or a real harsh neck tattoo, I think you're going to be fine. I think a face and a harsh neck tattoo around sort of the front of the neck is tough because it does look violent. Mm. And I'm saying that with someone with tattoos. You know, the one on my neck is my son's name. I don't think it's too much in your face. I used to wear turtlenecks. I used to cover them up, you know, back in the day. I'd be sitting in a room like this, sweating my nut off because I was covering up my tattoos. Because the first few experiences in London was, you know, when they shaped my hand, it was looking at the tattoos and then on the neck and thinking, okay, I don't know where he's going to rob me or actually we're going to do a deal. Or, you know, so it was kind of that feeling. But when I was being introduced through who I was becoming friends with, they, you know, that settled the dust and stuff like that. And then it was kind of like very... it was an easy entry for me when people knew me. But if you've got tattoos, no, I don't think it does. You know, I did, I rang Paul not too long ago. I had a brand deal that I've filmed for. And by accident, they sent me an email saying, you're able to refilm it without the tattoo. I said to Paul, I was like, I don't know what to do. He was like, well, just, you know, don't do anything too quick. Anyway, I got on a call and they were like, oh my God, we're so sorry. Like, please ignore it. Stuff like this. You know, you could kick up a fuss.
Yeah,
but look, if you've got tattoos, it makes no odds. Diddly squat.
So, peak performance. Let's talk about that. It seems like a little, your train set, something that you obviously should be proud of because it's obviously blown up recently.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Look, we've put, you know, when people turn around and say you can't start a business with no money, we haven't put a penny of our own money in. We get offered thousands in sponsorship. We get offered sponsorship all the time because it's a buzz. You know, we don't want curtains and carpets. Events are boring. And when you go into an event, look, we've got 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. Everyone who is wanting to learn from Scotland, Wales, Ireland, all around the country, Birmingham, Newcastle, coming to these events because we're creating a space where it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter if you've got tattoos, doesn't matter what your religion is, doesn't matter whether you've come from a bit of a rough background, doesn't matter whether you've left prison or whatever it might be. It's not for a set individual. And then we're able to put on a platform where people can come in and learn and collaborate. And like Paul said, when you put a lot of entrepreneurs in a room, it doesn't matter if you're in the same industry or not, because you know, we weren't in the same industry. We've now created Peak Performance. We're going to have other things. You know, we're going to have other businesses going into this new year. We're getting offered a lot of opportunities. You don't need to be in the same industry. So what happens is there's a good buzz. It's like going into a club with people who all want the same thing and all positive, opposed to, oh, mate, do you know who I got with last night? Celine, oh, mate, you should have seen it. You know, oh, my God, it's not treating me right. You know, there's none of that. It's a buzz of like-minded people. So you're going to come away, what's your number? Right, let's speak, let's have a coffee, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's that buzz. There's good food, there's good drink, there's a, you know, music. It's just a good vibe. And you come away going, fuck me, I might be able to do it. Because everyone else here is positive. Like, yeah. No plan B stuff. So why am I going down the pub talking to Johnny and Dave who are moaning about they've lost 50 quid on eToro and they're pissing and moaning that they haven't got a few, you know, the universal credit hasn't bumped them up a bit. You know, look, I struggle with excuses, but in these rooms that we're putting on, good vibes, marketing on point, growing rapidly, offered a lot of sponsorship, we will be in a stadium at one point. It's going to be big. We're backed by, you know, we can make a few phone calls and we could pull in a lot of money. You know, money isn't the issue. So I'm very excited that this next event is the platform to launch this year. And it is a case of watch this space. People won't be able to touch us.
I love it. We are going to continue to talk about it, but you struggle with excuses.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Look, I put out a lot of content. Obviously, the TikTok has got a lot of views recently, so I've had a lot of comments. You know, I know my phone now has probably done, sitting here every like 5 minutes, it does like 200-300 comments, something like that. It's taken off again. And in that, we could dissect a lot of excuses. Oh, well, it's all right for you, or, you know, you've had this, or blah, blah, blah. It's not that easy. You can't start a business with no money. And I'm just like, talk to the hand situation, because it's boring. Because all that is an excuse. That's low self-esteem. That's insecurity. That's bitterness. That's enviness. That's a little bit of jealousy. That's a case of your environment is very negative. You're best going down the pub and having a whinge about it and leave me a comment. And by all means, leave me a comment, because you're going to push the algorithm. So let's engage. I love it. I thrive in it. Excuses are excuses. If you haven't got enough time, you make time. Jay Alderton, I use this one because I love it. Jay Alderton turned around and said, anyone who turns around and says, I haven't got time, give me your fucking phone and I'll find your time. Let's have a look at what you're scrolling on. I'll watch Netflix, but then when everyone's asleep, I get back up again. So do you. You know, most of our conversations, videographer, our group chats, any business structures that we've got going on, past midnight, because we're doing it. I don't stop. Imagine this. I saw a video the other day. Imagine if you apply 12 months, just 1 year of your life, 1 year of your life, and you go for it just for 1 year. You double down. You utilize every hour that's spare. Of course, you're going to have set days on a Sunday to go out, go for a walk with the family, chill out, the kids, a bike ride. You're going to build that in. Mm. But every hour that you get, don't worry about Netflix. Don't worry about reading the news. Don't worry about going and doing this and having a coffee with your mate and you want to talk about what you got up to at the weekend. Cut it out. Say to everyone, look, I love you all to bits, but this year I'm knuckling down because this is the change. This is my pivot, because I want to be in a bit. I want private medical care for my children. So if they have lumps on their neck, they can get diagnosed instantly, apart from what, you know, rather than waiting in the NHS for 6-7 weeks. Why is Paul grafting? So he can put his kids into private education, because there's more opportunity. I can't stand that, oh, well, I came from, bore off. I came from it as well. I've come, you know, someone actually said, I used to be a skinhead for a long time, covered in tattoos. You know, if I was to whip my shirt off now, you know, Paul's going to be jealous. But the point is, you know, if I whip it off now, I'm covered in tattoos. And all my tattoos mean something. And someone actually said in one of the comments once, I was right for him. Obviously got a rich mum and dad. Well, fucking, I tell you what, you can come meet my mum and dad and you can come see where we all live and where we grew up and I'll fucking show you around. By all means, I've got no issue with it. I'll show you photos of what I used to look like, who we used to hang around with. I'll show you the people that you used to hang around with. They're still in the same place. We can go visit them.
Where was it?
Hey?
Where was it?
Where?
Where you used to live?
Oh, I never give my location away, by the way. I'll tell you what, it'll be a Borat and Pamela Anderson situation if I give away my location. But look, so I struggle with excuses. So as soon as people start saying, well, it's well, as soon as I hear that word, I'm out, done, move on. Keep swiping unless you're going to comment and build the algorithm up with me. Other than that, let's leave it.
So one thing I would say about that is I was exactly the same. I doubled down, but I drove my partner away.
Yeah.
And other employees, because I was fucking relentless to the point of they was like, it's too hard for me. And that's what I struggled with until I went, do you know what? Not everyone's the same as me.
Yeah.
Until you get around the right people such as yourselves who can cope with the relentlessness.
Yeah.
So what's your advice to people?
This is the difference, because when we say double down and we work in every single hour, our brains automatically go to, oh my God, it must be awful. 18 hour days. Look, some of them are. What we're on about is using the pockets.
Mm.
Let's take the average Joe. Goes to work, farts about, has a bit of a laugh, has a bit of a social gathering, does the work, goes home, might go down the pub, come back, watch a film, farts around again on the computer, have a little go on COD. There's a lot of hours during the day that could be converted into positive, productive things that move forward. Yeah. But yeah, you have to build in time. I spend a lot of time with my son. I do a lot of family things. You know, we go out on a lot of days and stuff like this. But it's about working in the pockets. Again, there is this, it's case by case and it's each individual to their own. Sleep. We could talk about this all day. How long do you sleep? What's a healthy sleep? I don't sleep many hours. I'm good. I've done it for 10 years. Your body does adapt. It's like going to the gym, right? There's good stress. A lot of people go, oh, well, you're going to bring on cancer early. No, it's rubbish. This is stress that your body is able to deal with. So when shit hits the fan, it's stress that you've been through before. It might be worse, it might be a little bit less, but you've been through it. It's like muscle memory. So you can adapt to it. The pockets in the day and utilizing time management better is, if someone is watching this and they're thinking, but Aaron, I hear what you're saying, mate, but I haven't got the time. I don't know where the pockets are. Then you can replicate what I did. Wait for every fucker to go to sleep, then get back up. Watch the Netflix, go out for a film. You know, or go get some food. Whatever you're going to do, let the family go to sleep. They go to sleep at, say, 10:30. Work from 11:30 till 1:30. Why do you need 8 hours? Why? Where's this 8 and 10 hours come from? Well, Aaron, it's unhealthy otherwise. Well, okay, try it. If you don't like it and you can't do it, then find the hours another way. Perhaps you get up earlier. Oh, I don't want to do that. It's really cold. Right, we don't fucking want it. This is the point. You don't want it. All you're doing, I'm giving you an answer which you can fit into your lifestyle, and you're countering with, well, you know, well, it's not going to work. It's unhealthy. Right, well, what do you eat the weekend? Well, I had a big Chinese and I did the old Johnny Fisher. Bosh, you know, at 1 to 100, you know, on the order. So, you know, there is a counter for everything. Hence why I can't do excuses, because someone say, oh, I wouldn't do that. And then I go, okay, what do you do then? Well, I go down the pub. Well, how many pints do you have? Well, only two. Well, okay, I buy a protein shake and I work out. But then I'm done. And how long are you at the pub? Well, 3.5 hours. Well, I do an hour, smash it out, and then I'm back and I've got 2 hours of work. Well, that's all right for you. Oh, here we go, sausage. So, yeah, I struggle with them.
No, I completely agree. I'm exactly the same. But there was so many parallels there. There really is, because, again, I'll come back to what I've done with my now ex-wife, all of my family, which is hard because I drove them away. And even to this day now, they struggle to understand my relentlessness to work and create other streams of income, as I have done, because they don't understand why I would want to do that.
Yeah.
And add pressure, stress, when it's unnecessary pressure or stress. I don't see it as that.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening, they may be influenced by the outsiders, if you will. Look, if it's that.
Look, I hear you, and we're all feeling it. You know, I can tell you that. We're all feeling it. We've all been through what you're saying, and we're still going through it.
I won't take it on board because I've distanced myself in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Because I've built it's not a barrier, but I won't take the negative. I won't take it in. I know where I'm going.
But you have to ask yourself the question. We do everything for a reason, for family and stuff like that. You wouldn't want to have a load of money and not anyone to spend it on. You know, you could find things to spend it on, but ultimately, if you weren't doing this, you wouldn't be fulfilled anyway. And you would lay there on your bed one day in the future with the man in white sitting at the end, and you'd think, oh, fuck, I should have done it. I should have, because you do have to be selfish first, but you can balance and work the selfishness around. And look, people change. Lives change. You know, we are very used to back in the day that you marry someone and that is it. You know, if you go back to the 60s.
That's exactly it.
Whether there were problems or not, you stick with that person.
I just can't fucking sit there. I can't sit and not do, or I can't sit and do a 9-to-5. That would kill me.
Would reflect in your home life as well, because you wouldn't be happy.
Absolutely. So when I bought my first business, debt recovery business, and within 2 months, I got my uncle in to run it. I then come out, bought property, bored.
Yeah.
So boring.
Yeah.
I was like, right, next.
Yeah.
Then bought more, built the property business up, and bored, next.
Yeah.
Next thing. Similar to yourself.
Yeah.
Similar to Paul. It's like, right, what do we do now? Investing into other things, other assets. So it's like, right, now social media, bang.
But the other thing is as well, if you are someone that is a busybody and you want to fulfill and you want to push yourself, the problem is we have so much. We have an abundance of opportunity. It would be silly to go, oh, well, I've done 2 things that were available to me, when there's 10 more to do. And the 10 more will only provide a better life. But yes, you know, you do have to try and find a happy medium. But the problem is that's constant work. It's constant fluctuation of trying to find this balance, because I don't think there's balance. I think you do what you can do. And look, we can walk down the road and we can see couples and we can see families.
Yeah.
None of them are perfect. There is stuff going on in every single one of their lives. And for anyone who thinks they're not, it's total in denial. It's look, life is up and down and so fast paced, so short form content in everything in our life. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, we want to consume things quick. And that's very hard when let's put it this way, social media really has popped in these last 5 to 10 years for everyone to realize that oh my God, if we really want to do something, we can. So it's been very recent. So if we go back 10, 15 years, it was a bit slower. It was very kind of family life. It was just 9 to 5, that because there wasn't all this opportunity where people can literally pick up a phone and earn thousands or build businesses in a year. But there is that opportunity. So if you're someone that's got a bit of savvy and you want drive, you want to take the opportunity opposed to sitting on that bed and thinking, fucking hell, I didn't do it because you get fucking moaning at me, you know, and that will lead to bitterness. Not everyone's like that, but you do have to fulfill yourself first. But of course, trying to do it for the right reasons as well and a bigger picture. But kids are a great reason why.
Absolutely. But you have to be, as Paul said, selfish. And you have to do it for yourself in order to do it for your kids, for example. So in my case, it's exactly the same. I do it for my kids, but I had to do it for the right reason, for the podcast.
Yeah.
The podcast for me is therapy in a way, to be surrounded by the right people to drown out the negativity from, again, comments, people on Instagram, TikTok, whatever it might be, huge, whatever, and other people surrounding. Likewise with yourself on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant what they say because it bumps the algorithm up.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, what have we got now? Like 4.5 million likes or comments. And it's just...
I've done over 150 million views in the last 6 months.
That's just ridiculous.
So, and that I'll probably do, from what I'm thinking, I'll probably do another 30 million views in the next couple of months.
So let's talk about the monetization of your social media. So how have you, or what have you got planned for that?
Well, it's exciting because look, you know, and bearing in mind, I'm small fish, you know, so we know some big TikTokers. We're rubbing shoulders with big TikTokers behind the scene and people in social media who are earning a lot of money. So look, I'm small fish. I'm not even touching the sides, but I've got my goals and I know where I'm going. But have I grown rapidly? Yes. It's consistency, as Paul said. It's just, and look, you know, also being humble along the process of growing is that, you know, when we talk about my podcast wouldn't be where it is if it weren't without Paul. My TikTok essentially wouldn't be where it is without Paul. So it's a partnership through and through. And Paul benefits as much as he can from my growth, just as I do from his growth. So it's also being humble in the fact that actually it's, you know, people see more of my face on camera, but then there's a lot that goes behind the scenes. So the partnership in growth through all of this is equal through and through. And the thing with TikTok is obviously, of course, I'll benefit from the brand deals. And the brand deals are very lucrative. So you can earn from like 6 different ways on TikTok. The lucrative part is the brand deals. You know, when people are earning on average, let's say £1,000 to £1,500 a month in the UK salary, you know, you can do that in a deal, in one deal. And yesterday, you know, although exact figures we won't give, but, you know, people are doing one deals for good brands that have got big budgets that realize that actually reaching 3-4 million people in maybe a couple of days through a post is so much more effective than spending 30 grand over a year or 40 grand over a year on SEO that barely brings in anything, or even more really on the budget to give to one influencer. So people are earning now a lot of money a day, a week, a month, just through building a social brand and knowing how to niche it. Because now I feel like I've cracked it. I've got some big plans. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. I can tell you now, over the next 2 months, my account will go from, I think I'm at nearly 130,000. I've done like 15,000 in less than 48 hours. Followers, it's popped again. The algorithm spiked, done a few million. I'll reach 200,000 pretty quick, I think, and we're going to do multi-million views in the next couple of months. And of course, that's going to be backed by a revenue stream. And going forward, it puts you in a position of demand. You know, it's your price tag over your head. But I will not change along the way. I'll literally be the same person. That's the difference. And that will open up more doors for me, because I know too many people that they've got the following, especially on Instagram. I mean, we had someone once at our event who was, you know, I'm going to beep, who said something and was like, oh, I'm so-and-so. And I thought, you're a fucking idiot. Like, no one fucking cares. Like, drop the arrogance. No one cares. It's, if you are sitting there and you're bothered about how many followers you've got, you're in a very bad place in your life. A very bad place, because it's about engagement, not the likes, not the views. It's the engagement. It's about the reshares. It's watching something and creating an emotion where you go, God, I really agree with that. I'm sending that to Dave. Or, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Wait till Lucy hears this. Share. That's what it's about. Content is about creating that engagement. It's about being Marmite. either let someone know that you like them or that you don't like them. Don't have this like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm trying to work her out or work him out. I haven't got time for that. So the lucrative side of TikTok especially is massive. If you apply yourself, short form, you nail it, you learn about it, you stay close to it, it could become your biggest revenue stream.
What one post I see you done on it was about the homeless.
Yeah.
That popped.
Yeah.
That really popped, didn't
yeah.
it? Explain about that. Why has that gone viral so much?
Look, I'm not going to charge any of you for this because you normally have to book a one-to-one. But look, is that you have to tick boxes. When you post, I've learnt now that you can't post any piece of content that people aren't going to go, I don't agree or I do agree. Because the problem is there's no point posting content where people go, next. Our thumbs are very quick to swipe, yeah? Mm. So what you need to do is you need to have the hook. It's all about attention and retention. Julius Dean explained it perfectly on camera, which is out tonight, but also off camera. And you need to have people comment and share. That's what makes you grow, comments and shares. If you're watching your piece of content back and it doesn't allow people to comment and get involved and create an internal argument, if you look at all the videos that popped, I think I've done something like maybe 20 videos that have gone above a million, a lot of videos that have gone past 500,000, and many videos that have done more than 250,000. And all of them will have the same thing. Everyone's arguing between themselves. They're all debating. So I don't even need to get involved. You know, now, if I was to pick up my phone now, there'll be people back and forth. You know, when you go on some of the comments, they've had like, you know, one comment will have under one comment, it'll have maybe like another 1,000 comments under it because they're all engaging, they're all arguing. And that's how you grow. The problem is you get a lot of people that piggyback off comment, off content, sorry. And it's been very apparent most recently that people are piggybacking almost nearly word for word my content, which is hilarious. But, you know, by all means, do it, but you won't catch up.
I'll ask you now. I'm not going to piggyback, but what's your thoughts on homelessness?
Look, it's something that's been...
This is a close subject to
me. It's something that's become a lot bigger for me. Mm. I feel from the sort of end of last year that it's something I want to give back a little bit more. And also, you know, Paul and I talk a lot in terms of like when good days, bad days and stuff like that. And really, even on our worst days, this is all a part of the success journey. And when you walk past a homeless person, and what it was, there was a couple of people, Paul, do you remember the guy in the tube? There was one guy in the tube, wasn't there? Do you remember he came along? And I don't know why. I think that was a little bit of a start of it. There was one person before that. Anyway, this guy came along in the tube. He looked at me in a bad way. And I thought he was about my age. And he just said, I really need help. That kind of sparked something. It gave him a change. I don't normally have change. And then from there, I've just made more of an effort to talk with homeless people. And understanding that they go into a location, sit there in the pissing wet, and hundreds of people pass them and they don't talk to them. You know, they've lost all dignity. So it's been more of a big thing. And then recently on Christmas Day, I went out and fed the homeless people. Didn't video it, didn't look for viral videos like a lot of people would do. Just went out with a friend of mine. We made up a load of lunches and we fed about 41 homeless people on Christmas Day. I've never done that before. So yeah, it's just become a bigger thing to me. So obviously there was some content around it, but that was actually before I went out and did those things. So it's just a talking topic and it's a good reality check. Things aren't so bad when our worst days are probably actually their dreams. See what I mean?
Yeah, no, I certainly do. Again, people will know my backstory because it's on a lot of the podcast. And yeah, it's a close subject to myself. Mm. And if only more people would understand what they've been through in order to get there, it's not always what it seems.
Mm.
Massively.
Yeah.
They need to understand that, again, listening to you, I won't take the clip away, but they've got to go and listen to your clip. And it's not always a certain situation that it would appear to be.
Yeah.
But there's a reason they're there, not always the one that you think.
Oh, of course.
So,
yeah. And it, you know, I have quite a high bar now. You know, I have some incredible people in my network who've made a lot of money and they do a lot of charitable things. So I feel that that's also set a bar for me.
Mm.
Because if they're able to do that, I feel that I should do a little bit of my part. And also, that's also another bar for me to why we shouldn't have to put up with anything like unemployment and stuff and like lack of respect for another human being. This is the the gripe that I have is that we're all human beings, regardless of where we are on our journey. The respect level doesn't alter because of where you are in your journey. From a homeless person to someone who's extremely successful, the respect shouldn't drop. What that is that's people feeling uncomfortable. Oh, yeah. He's dirty, or she's dirty, or smells a bit, or, you know, oh God, they're a drug addict. But that doesn't mean the human respect should leave someone. That's just called being snobby and being pompous. So that obviously tied into the whole employment thing that I talk about is just the human respect. That shouldn't actually be lost. Unless there was a huge criminal, you know, like unless it was something extremely awful, why someone went to prison or they did something awful. Of course, there's levels that you will lose respect for. But when you do see homeless people or, you know, certain situations or the way people talk to each other, it's just about being respectful. And there's not enough of that.
I just want to quickly touch on this before we do end up wrapping up. College, university and employment. It's a controversial subject for yourself, I know. But what's your thoughts on going to college and university?
I think you should. You know, look, I went to college and uni. No, I didn't really. Go as all my content. No, look, I didn't. I've got nothing against college and uni. What it is that I didn't go, but I've still managed to do all right. I'm still on my journey. But a lot of people, it offends who are at uni because it's like, well, my mum and dad went to uni. I'm going to uni and you're offending me. And it's quite funny, really, because the best individuals who make really good decisions are the ones who take the negatives and the positives and then they form their own decision bang in the middle. And then they can be content with both sides of the coin. So it's funny when you spark that emotion, and I'll comment, you see a lot of my replies are ruffled feathers. And I just send that to people because it shows a lack of control on their emotion. Look, there's no right uni, college, go straight into self-education or into business or employment. There's no, you know, because you do what you want for you and your family or your personal life. But for those people that don't take to education, we do need to drop the whole, do you know what, if I come away with no GCSEs, no paperwork, it doesn't fucking matter. Because you can come away, go to your bedroom, study, and start a business. You can do it and you can be super, super successful. And a lot of people, the reason they want to squash that idea, and there's a lot of comments that say you shouldn't be promoting this. I mean, don't get me wrong, 90% of all of my content is in favor of what I say because I'm being, you know, it's relatable. But the 10% that do disagree is because what it's doing is it's showing an insecurity in them. Well, I'm going to uni and, you know, I'm going to spend 4 years and this £40,000, and you can't say that because I am going to be super successful, you know. And they don't like it, and it irritates them. I'm sorry.
But is there part of people that you've interviewed within your content that are just fucking lazy, that go to uni, that don't want to start a business? One, they may not know how to, or they're just lazy.
Louis, are you trying to get me to talk about a video that I recently done? No. Look, there are, of course there are, but do you know what? It's environments. Look, I know a lot of people who have rich parents, and there's a trait amongst them.
It's not just the video you've done. It's people that I know that are around me.
Yeah, but there's, let's start with the ones who have rich parents. Why would you have any motivation when you can fall back on mummy and daddy?
This also.
So that's,
go and visit these videos.
Yeah, so that's one of them. Then you have the people who are just lazy. I still don't get how some students sleep till 2 in the afternoon. I've always been up early. My son's up early. I was always up early. My dad's up early. My mum's up early. So it's a family thing. But being up early, early bird catches the worm. And there will be some people that will go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You say that you sleep 4 or 5 hours of sleep. But you can't contest it because I do. But why on earth would you want to sleep till 2 in the afternoon? Which brings us back to the counter of too many hours in the day to utilise. So when I was at full-time employment, I'd start late afternoon. I'd wake up at 6, I'd be in the gym, then I've got 4 or 5 hours. Everyone else would go to school, go to work. I'd have 4 or 5 hours to crack on with work, do my 10 hours, get back, you know, Saturday to 9, blah, blah, blah. A little chill out, open up the laptop, another little 3 or 4 hours. Boom, I've managed to squeeze in 8 hours in the same day because there's 2 shifts. Believe it or not, you can do 2 shifts, 3 shifts in a day. So the laziness, I think, comes from the environment. So if they're lazy, if they're sleeping until 2, they haven't got drive, it normally comes from rich parents, no motivation, friends, or just smoking too much on the old puff puff, and they don't want to get up. That's typically what it is. It's very simple. But of course, I'm sure, you know, when we cut this up, there's going to be some smart ass that will come up with something. So, and when we do, I will reply and we're going to push that algorithm.
I mean, yeah, no, I've no doubt about that, mate. I mean, what is the motivation? What motivates you to succeed?
I want to just have full flexibility to go, you know, if I want to go to a rustic cafe in a village one day, I can do that. You know, if I want to go chill, if I want to visit an old medieval village, if I want, you know, to have private medical care, to have options, you know, if I want to go have a really fancy lunch one day, I can do that. If I want to buy a nice car, I can do that. You know, whatever I want to do, I just want that flexibility. I'm not bothered about having millions upon millions upon millions, although we will, mate, we're going to get there. But I'm not bothered about it. I'm just, you know, I've said it before, success and happiness to me looks like two little semi-detached bed house in the country, copper pans, little dog, little plot of land out back, shooting on a Sunday, clay pigeon shooting, little roast dinner, very quiet, electric car, no one fucking knows me, little pub down the road, just chill, quiet. That's my thing. Not bothered about anything else. Semi-detached, tiny little place, little fire, I'm good. You know, so I'm not bothered about trying to do this whole Lamborghini, Dubai, all this fancy stuff. Not bothered about it. I'm just very, very simple. But to have cash in the bank to go and do what you want.
I think what's important for everyone to listen and to, the takeaway from yourself is it's okay to be busy.
Yeah.
It's okay to not just do the 9-to-5. It's okay to create other streams of income. It's okay to go to work and think, right, okay, I'm not happy, so I'm actually going to try and create other streams of income, other things. I'm going to try and create something better for my life. It's okay to have the uncomfortable conversation with the wife, with the family, because a lot of people probably want to have it, but don't.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you did at some point.
Look, let me finish it on this. It's very taboo in the UK to talk about money, success and business and wanting a little bit more than what the average would want. That's why it's an awkward conversation to have, because people don't like talking about money. They don't like being in a situation where someone may not have the drive or confidence to do it, but sitting opposite someone who's saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And that's why you can't talk about it in employment, because it reveals insecurities and a threat to someone else. Imagine two guys sitting there at the canteen having a chat. Look, I've been there having that chat. Mate, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build this thing. I'm going to have this for my life, my family. We're going to have all this. And the other guy going, oh, I'm going to be back here tomorrow for the next 12 years. I don't like what you're saying. It makes me feel very insecure. I'm going to go ask on you now. I'm going to go tell the manager. You know, and off they go. And that's the feeling that leaves people. So that's why you can't talk about ambition in corporate world, because it reveals insecurities in other people. And it's fine to work in employment. I loved my last job. But if you want more, there is more to be had. Less excuses, more productivity, work it around your family life and pedal to the metal.
Aaron, it's been a pleasure. Where can people find you?
They can't. I mean, look, Aaron Knightley, on the handles on everything, to be honest with you. Just search me, Aaron Knightley, Instagram, TikTok, stuff like that, mate. And, you know, I answer all messages as well. Like, people, anyone can message me and stuff.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, dude. And you're big as well.